do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hate. Stop hating.
Welcome to Point of Contention, 5 Subjects, 5 Minutes, 5 Points of Contention. I'm Zach Harper, that's Andrew Schleck producing. What the hell? Coming up on the show, Draymond and KD speak out. Summer League is a wrap and Christmas games are locked in. So it's time to get to our two contestants. In this corner, the Bay Area legend, new homeowner and author of two, count them, two books about the Warriors dynasty, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus is Jonathan Kuminga. On his way to the Hall of Fame.
Not if that nickname people trying to give him sticks. That is not okay.
What is it again?
Acceptable. Nope. I refuse. I refuse to repeat it. I'll tell you what he's in the Hall of Fame for. He's in the Hall of Fame of the most built rookies. The most physically ready rookies. Like,
you know what? I'm not a coward. I'll say the nickname. It's Christian Minga.
Christian.com.
He's ready.
Was that
he's
off
ready,
the dome?
He's ready
dome.
To put up numbers.
That was off the dome.
It's always off the dome. It was either going to be that or he's Singa and ready to Minga. It was one of those.
Christian Minga.
Because he's ready to put up numbers. In this corner, from the streets of Flint, Michigan, Pistons expert, Clippers fan, Sean Livingston collector, and the future author of the book, Luca Garza, Motor City Cruiser to Motor City Bruiser, James Edwards III. James, In-N-Out or Whataburger?
So I've only had In-N-Out, so I'm going to go In-N-Out. But I have a question for you guys. Like, obviously, they're not here in Michigan. And are they all up the California coast? Like, it's everywhere in California?
In-N-Out?
Is Whataburger too? Or
I've
no?
never had Whataburger in my life.
Okay.
It's a Texas thing. I had a Whataburger opportunity and I passed on it.
So is In-N-Out like to Californians? Like, is it, do you guys have Five Guys as prevalent?
Yeah, we have Five Guys. Yeah.
Is Five Guys better to you guys or In-N-Out?
It just depends on what I'm looking for.
Five Guys fries are better. No question.
Yes, but my issue is when I'm like, oh, I like an In-N-Out burger, and then people say, yeah, but the Five Guys fries are better. And I don't know that they're better. They're just more. It's because they give you a bag of fries.
They put the highly MSG seasoned salt on them. That
I got the seasoning at my place. I can put
that
shit on anything.
Yeah, but you don't have to do that at Five Guys. They got it for you. You know, they can throw the MSG right on there.
Oh, no. I pour it in a bag. I shake the bag. Boom.
I like In-N-Out. I don't know if I like it more. I think I like Five Guys a lot. I think they're on the same.
Yeah, it depends on like.
I was just curious.
If I want a greasy burger to like sop up some alcohol from the night before, give me a Five Guys. If I want to like feel like I'm eating fast food but not completely killing myself, like give me In-N-Out.
Okay, that's a good way.
But also,
I feel like that was Shake Shack. Like Shake Shack's maybe the healthier option.
Love Shake Shack.
We just got a Shake Shack in downtown Oakland.
Facts.
That line is gonna be.
I used to ride for In-N-Out, like, because it felt like a California thing when people would be like, oh, I don't like In-N-Out.
Right.
And then my niece came out here from Arkansas, and we went to In-N-Out, so I had In-N-Out for the first time in a while. And you know what? I'm not riding for In-N-Out no more. Like, it's.
Here's my issue with the whole conversation. People are like, oh, it's overrated. It's trash. It's terrible. It's a $3 cheeseburger. The fuck are we talking
absolutely.
About?
Yeah,
$3 facts. Cheeseburger.
Sign me literally. Up.
Exactly.
It's a good $3.
I think that covers. I think that covers the banter portion of this script. Andrew, start the clock. Kevin Durant joined Draymond Green on his show Chips. And had a very candid conversation about the Warriors' management. Andrew, roll the tape.
They told me right then and there, like, we're going to suspend you for this game. I laughed in their face, literally laughed in their face. And Bob said to me, he said, wow, that was not the reaction I was looking for or expecting. And I said, well, either I'm going to laugh in your face or I'm going to cuss you the fuck out. So you pick, I'm going to choose laugh. So I think what you're doing is funny, and so I'm going to laugh. And so it's interesting to hear you say essentially the same thing that I told them that day.
So, Marcus, a lot of this conversation about the 2018 incident that I wouldn't say ruined the Warriors dynasty, but it was part of the unraveling, right? So the conversation around this was a lot of both of them saying, oh, they tried to get involved and have us settle it this way, and we needed to settle it this way. And if they had just stayed out of the way, we would have done this. You still had the chance to settle it. So is this a candid conversation between two people being willingly recorded, or is it revisionist history?
I think there were elements of it that was revisionist. And I think that's a bit of because they're just different people, which brings me to my most frustrating point. This was 3 years ago. We're still talking about this? Are we still?
Got you, man. Content is king,
I will
Marcus.
Give them credit for this.
The people have been waiting for that
I will
that
give
combo.
Them credit for this. They already had it on Etceteras, but exactly. I'll give them this. For a conversation that's been talked about incessantly, it was actually pretty good. Like, we got something out of it. Like, Draymond did a really good job asking the questions. Kevin Durant was very open. It felt like the Kevin Durant you talk to in the locker room, right? The guy who's just willing to have a conversation and down and talk about anything. But I think they were both. So Draymond's point to me was that he messed it up. He was the only one who could fix it. So essentially, give him a chance to fix it. And the Warriors were trying to fix it by appeasing Kevin Durant. This is what Draymond's thinking. So he's like, basically, let me do my thing. And the truth is, he is right about one thing. Like, that's one of those situations. I know y'all watch Ted Lasso, right? Y'all watch Ted Lasso?
Of course.
So remember Nate was being bullied. Nate the Great was being bullied. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's his name? My angry guy. Roy comes into the... comes into the Ted and it's like, hey man, you ain't gonna do nothing about this. He's like, nah, because if I do something, it's all bad. I feel like that was the situation, that this wasn't a situation a suspension was gonna fix. He literally went off on this dude on the court. Like, they was gonna have to man up and have a conversation about it. They was gonna have to man up and do it. So I don't care what happened. Draymond wasn't ready to do that right off the bat anyway. So it doesn't matter. Right. He just found a different target to kind of aim his ire at and ended up being Bob and Steve. But his whole point from the beginning was, and this is what his wife was telling him, like, you messed up and you got to fix it. And Draymond had to get to this place where he's like, okay, yeah, you're right. But they kind of delayed that process by suspending him. And that's the kind of, that's where he's revising it. But he is right about that. That's a man up situation. You know what I'm saying? Zach, you and I talk like that. Me and you going to find a room and we're going to come out shaking hands. But we got to go into that room first. And ain't nothing the athletic can say channel? About it.
Like a Slack channel?
This ain't for the athletic bosses. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Clubhouse?
James, that's the thing is, like, to me, they're both saying, like, well, we needed to go out and hash it out ourselves. And they're, I don't know, a lot of that combo seemed like they were absolving themselves of actually doing that. Like, that Marcus is right. Like, if you have an issue and you're adults in a professional setting and all that, like, or you're just boys, whatever, you got to just get over yourself and, like, go hash that out if you have a bigger goal at hand.
No, facts. And I think that what I learned from that portion of the interview was it seemed like to me two guys who are now friends that weren't friends in that moment and able to look back at it. And now they're able to deflect kind of the tension that was there to the higher powers. And whether or not that's right or wrong, I agree. They needed to hash it out. Like, I hate saying like men, they needed to hash it out and figure it out between themselves. But knowing Draymond the little bit that I do, like, it takes a while to get to that place to admit where you're wrong. And on top of that, they're showing favoritism to Kevin when you were there before then, and that probably adds fuel to the fire. I just took away from that, it's guys that are, they have literally gotten over it, they're friends again, and they were able to look back and kind of, yeah, there I think there was some revisionist history with that.
So when's the last time you guys had to have this hash it out with somebody? And it didn't happen that way, and maybe things were for the worse, professional or otherwise, James.
Man, that's a good question. I would probably say with my girlfriend.
Okay. I was gonna say my mama.
Sure. Yeah. We disagree, and then she goes to work, and it's like, you know, I talk to her when she gets home, and it's like, this is childish. I'm hungry.
Right.
Let's talk. He's lying. He come 3 days later. All right, my bad. But he could do the stubborn
also,
thing.
Also, shout out to her for listening to the pod, because clearly that's what he's covering his tracks for. And that's all the time we have for this segment. Take two. Embiid still trusting the process. On Tuesday morning, Joel Embiid inked a four-year, $196 million Supermax extension, then tweeted this out. There's no place like Philadelphia, because it's in all caps. Excited to continue working towards bringing a title home and eventually retire here. Hashtag Philly. James, will JoJo be able to accomplish either of these goals?
Ben Simmons get traded yet? Or, I'm sorry, 2-5? Are we doing 2-5 on this show too?
Yeah, we'll do. Let's keep the shtick going. Yeah,
did 2-5 get traded yet?
Beep out that name. 2-5 yeah. Has not been traded yet.
Listen, Philly's close, and we've talked about it on our other show. I'm curious to see how Milwaukee comes out after finally getting it done. I don't know if there's going to be the urgency. The Brooklyn Nets are a crapshoot in many different ways. Toronto is out of, I think, the Eastern Conference title contention. Who else in the East am I missing? Atlanta, I don't think, is ready yet.
Milwaukee? Is that it?
We got Milwaukee.
I don't think they're going to have the urgency.
Miami
could be interesting.
If everything breaks right, maybe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
My dog.
I think Philly has a chance this year, if they're able to trade Ben for something good, to come out of the East. And I think there's a world. Joel Embiid, when healthy, make a case. He's one of the, I was going to say, the best player in the NBA. You can make the case. So you can argue it. Somebody doesn't have to listen, but you can make the argument. I like the team that they have. I just think if there's a way they could get Damian Lillard, sign me up. But I don't know if Portland's doing that.
Marcus, Joel Embiid has often been good in the playoffs, but not great. So maybe this is kind of on him here to accomplish these goals.
That's the problem. It is on him. We can't act like he wasn't on the court when they wet the bed, right? Where like he's on the court, right. Like Ben Simmons was tragic, but you know Joel Embiid was not closing. It wasn't one game. They blew multiple chances in the fourth quarter. I think he'll win the title because eventually he'll get fed up with this. They clearly need another ball handler playmaker. It's too much to ask him to say fourth quarter or go create offense. It's just
Marcus, have you not seen the latest 2-5 sizzle reel for the summer? Is that not
Yo, fam, every player in the league can go downhill and dunk. What point guard in the league has this in their bag? I have that in my bag.
Let's name the ones that can't do that. That's
like, what are we talking about, bro? Like that was the craziest caption I've ever seen in my life.
Hey man, propaganda never stops, Marcus. You gotta keep that thing going.
Not trading Ben Simmons for anything. Not now, because Daryl Morey still thinks he should get New Zealand with whatever picks he get. So at some point, the price will be lowered. I mean, look, Zach, this was the year. It was this past year. This was
the one, man.
Like, how many of those you get?
This would have been it.
So I do think at some point, it'll be so obvious that they can't touch the Nets. That's the worst part. They haven't even lost to the best teams yet. Like, they didn't get knocked out by the favorites. I mean, they lost to Atlanta. Like, you know, Toronto was a favorite.
What's going on here?
No, I'm just saying.
Wait, they lost the Atlanta series, right? Jeez, I forgot.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm sorry. Yes, it was Atlanta, Milwaukee.
So it's like Atlanta's like on the way up. So it's going to become clear that the roster they have won't be able to touch a healthy Nets. They probably can't beat Milwaukee, like Milwaukee, now that they've got their chest out because they won a title. And Miami, two pieces from being a problem, right? Like, so I just feel like at some point, Embiid's going to walk in the office and be like, I don't care what it is, pull the trigger. And then that's when he's going to get his title. Because at some point, they're just going to have to pull the trigger for Dame.
Open tomorrow?
If I tell you tomorrow, the Sixers have traded for Damian Lillard. They traded 2-5 for Damian Lillard. And it doesn't matter what the rest of that trade is. Do you now do you feel like
he's going
to
win a title?
Joel Embiid is going to bring a title to Philly. Not this year necessarily.
But at some point, him and Dame will win a title. Yeah. No question.
Yeah. And I'm going
next
year.
They're what each other needs.
I'm getting that hype.
Whoa.
They're what each other needs. I mean, that's the bottom line. They're what Embiid got you, but it's just too much to ask a 7 foot, 280 pound dude to carry you all game. And then we're going to run an ISO through the post. Like, there's no variation, no space, no create. Yeah. Like, is this hard to do for a big man? He needs a Kobe.
On a torn meniscus.
Yeah, he needs a Kobe. He needs somebody who can make something happen from the perimeter.
Also, maybe he needs a Peloton.
It would help. You
know, maybe.
It would help. It would definitely help.
Those maxi climbers, those Versa climbers.
Clint Capella looked like he was getting stronger at the end of the games. That's all I'm saying.
He sure did. Helps playing the Knicks, though. We've got some summer league stuff to get through, but we'll get to that right after this ad break.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
All right, take three. NBA Summer League is here, and you know it's gone. It happened already. We you know, I was there for a bit. Marcus was there for a bit. You know, we're all checking it out. We're all there, like making sure Kate Cunningham's doing this and Jalen Green's doing that, and the hell is the crowd talking about with Jonathan Kuminga, and you know, a lot going
Lewis
on.
Lewis King,
that Lewis King. We got Davion Mitchell. Doing something that the Kings have not seen in a while. It's called defense. He's playing defense, and it was good defense, too. So that's something that,
who's
you know,
the best? Who's the best Kings defender since Davion Mitchell?
is it Ron Artest?
It's either Ron Doug Christie, or like Doug Christie. Yeah.
Or Doug Christie.
I don't know. I don't remember if Lionel Simmons got after it back in the day. Probably not. I know Olden Polonies didn't. I know
Bobby Coswell. Jackson nice on D?
Yeah, but he was with Doug Christie though.
yeah, that's right. True. That whole squad, exactly. That squad was my. That was
Lawrence Funderburk.
I need an oral history. I need to holler at Jason Jones. I need an oral history of that 0-1 Kings team.
He's got to stop buying Lakers jerseys and complain about the Raiders first. But
watching Monday Night Raw,
fans were in the stands. All the first round picks suited up, and the Shangoon hype train has left the station. So many questions, but does Summer League offer any answers? Marcus, which of the top 10 picks gave us a look into the future with their play?
Not Cade Cunningham. No, I'm just messing with James. To me, I'm going with Jalen Suggs.
Yes.
Yes.
Not to add on to the Kuminga's nickname, but – Jalen Suggs is just dripping it. Like, it's just, it's it's oozing off of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, the dude is
he's dripping it.
Dude is like, he's got it, man. He's got it. I got to shout out Jay King because he was saying it from the beginning. Like, yo, Jalen Suggs might be the best player in this draft. He's going to be the player.
Hold the fuck up.
He was saying
Jay King was saying
yeah,
that.
Jay King was saying
he got that from my mock draft saying, yo, Jalen Suggs needs to be up there with everybody.
Hey, man,
he stole that from me.
Hey,
I love the Zach J.
I mean, you gotta
banter. That's like my favorite shit.
It's incredible, right? You gotta it's so easy to bait Zach, right? Are you so easy.
Jay King says Jalen Suggs is good.
It's so easy to bait Zach.
Jalen Suggs being
good. You got
to
handle that copyright court. All I know is Jay King was on this show saying Jalen Suggs might be the best player in the draft, and you might have agreed. I think I might remember you agreeing with him. But
yeah, I agreed with me. Let's go read his mock draft. Oh, wait. He was right about, hey, maybe Aaron Naismith can hit a shot next year.
Peyton but Pritchard he,
he's got yeah. he's got good size. He's already there physically. His shot looked better than what I thought, like especially mid-range pull-up. Mm-hmm. It's a very smooth jumper. And man, he's got it, yo. He's just got that it thing where he's going to have the ball in his hand, he's going to make play. Like to me, he really stood out.
He's a clutch defender.
Yes, he is.
Like
when have we seen a guard come in like blocking shots like this? Like walking into the league and doing chase down blocks and like he's got the tools, man. He's going to be really good.
I'm a fan, and that was one guy I didn't know how the jump shot would translate. Just me covering a team that had the number one pick. He was kind of in that second tier. I kind of had Cade, Green, Mobley all in that first tier and him a little further back. But I was super impressed with him. Davion, I know you said top 10 picks. Davion, super impressive as you talked about. I thought I enjoyed watching Jalen. I enjoyed watching Cade. Cade is smooth.
Yeah.
Jalen yapping out, trying to be the villain. I like that.
Yo, Zach, you were on Jalen Green, though. I'll give you that.
I mean,
he was number two pick, so you didn't violate any consensus or anything. But
the top five on the top five guys, I have no notes, like no bad notes. Like these are all these guys get greenlit for projects. Like this is
Cade's thought they all amazing. Came as advertised too.
Yeah, like Evan Mobley's body control is ridiculous for a young big man like
He's better than what I thought, to be honest.
Scotty can do everything but shoot.
That we knew that,
right? Yeah,
yeah, and we knew that. Like
Cade was the most disappointing. Had everything, to be honest. But his game is his game ain't a summer league game, right? Like
I agree. And I would say we heard about the shooting, the passing, the ball handling, showed all that. We also heard that he's not the most athletic player, and that showed, right? And I think his passing and playmaking will show when he plays with – I mean, I know a lot of the Pistons players – like Killian and Sadiq will play a lot of minutes, but there's no Jeremy Grant. There's no Kelly Olynyk there. Isaiah Stewart didn't play. Like, I think it's going to show more, but I think he truly is. And he said it. He's like, first thing I want to do when I get here is show that I'm a team player. Like he said that everybody has the perception of the number one pick, this guy that's going to go get you 40. That's not going to be Cade. Cade's probably going to average 20 and 8, 20, 22 and 9. Like that's just who he is. And I think he showed exactly what he was and what people thought.
You know what, Zach, when I watched Cade, the first thing I thought was like, man, he'd be perfect on the Warriors.
Every time you use Warriors.
No, it's like a smart player.
To go to the Warriors.
They're the new Knicks media.
Oh my
perfect
God.
On the Warriors. You know what when I saw Jalen Suggs, you know what I thought? Man, that's exactly who the Warriors needed. When I watched Jonathan Kaminga, you know what I thought? He'd be perfect on the Pistons. No,
and then there was also Josh Giddey.
Yo.
Well, time to move on to the next segment. Not
He's
everything's
be back
a great
in Australia.
Gift. Take
this time next year.
Christmas Day games. Deck the halls with basketballs. The Christmas Day games have been released, and they are Hawks Knicks, Celtics Bucks, Warriors Suns, Nets Lakers, and then we'll finish off the Yuletide dealings with Mavs at Jazz. James, which matchup is the most intriguing to you? And no love for the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic?
That was my biggest beef. Like, no offense, Utah fans are so sensitive. They went at my man Will Gilroy already. But like, fam, What are we doing with Utah? Why does Utah need
to? They'll be quiet once the playoffs are over, so it's fine.
Ouch.
That's a fact. I don't know. I'm looking for the Warriors. It's Warriors-Lakers, right?
Warriors-Suns. Nets-Lakers.
Warriors-Suns. Warriors at
LeBron,
Suns.
LeBron-KD.
Yeah. Nets-Lakers. Yes, that's the one I meant. Nets-Lakers, of course. I mean, does anything need to be said? Hopefully everybody's healthy by then. Everyone's the preview of the finals. I don't know about all that, but I do want to see all those guys, just the connections on that floor from obviously Russ has his own thing with KD, Kyrie, LeBron, Harden, and Russ even. Like there's just so many connectors there. That game was going to be nuts. But Denver, come on. Murray should be back by then, right? No?
We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
Over Utah, though. I'm here for the Utah. I only got to go once a year.
This will piss Nuggets fans off. I think Zion got
robbed. I was just going to say that. Are we acting like Jokic is the most robbed? Come on. I don't see Joel Embiid on here. I don't see Damian Lillard on here. Like, Jokic is down the list pretty far, buddy, of the people who didn't make it.
Yeah, but he's the MVP.
Yeah, that's his fault. He shouldn't have won it.
That's nuts.
I love the idea of shaming a guy for winning MVP. The gall.
The gall of you to win this award.
The gall. So, but this is my question. What gives, other than everybody just loves Luka, like, why are the Mavs on? Like, at least
Luka.
Yeah, but Jokic is the MVP. But I don't know.
I mean, it's about eyes, right? It's about draw. That's...
I do think the argument is more why the Jazz instead of Denver rather than the Mavs instead of Denver, because the obvious thing
I understand,
like, people want to watch Luka, right? And so Luka versus Jokic, I do think, is a more intriguing matchup to the casual fan, which, remember, that is who you're trying to bring in on Christmas Day, than the diehards. Diehards are going to watch no matter what. And so, yes, the Jazz were the number one seed and number one team record-wise in the league last year, and Donovan Mitchell is obviously very good, and 2-7 got a silver medal, and so you know that stuff happens. But
I think if
you're looking for, like, star power to drive a Christmas night, I think it's more likely that you get that from Luka versus Jokic.
I don't think it has anything to do with Jokic. I think it has everything to do with fan base. Does Denver even have a TV deal? Like, they don't even have a TV. That stuff matters. Like,
that's also the thing of, like, with them getting Denver to pay attention to the Nuggets when the Broncos season is still going
It's tough. Yeah, right? it's going to be tough to get a draw, but... Like, I mean, Embiid feels like more of a robbery than me. To me, Zion feels like a robbery.
What are we doing with this? Why are we putting the Celtics in here again? Right? Like, it's like Sixer, like, Embiid. Tatum's really good. Jaylen Brown, I love. Like, it's a good team, but, and they'll be better, way better this year than they were last year. But I would rather see Joel Embiid on Christmas.
Why you can't? Same. You can't. You got to feed the beast on Christmas, man.
I would love to see Memphis.
You can't alienate, like, I think Boston fans on Christmas. It's the fan base.
That's true. No, Marcus, that franchise really mattered in the 80s, and so you're trying to, like,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Thursday and everything, yeah.
I know I'll be eating my – we do Chinese food on Christmas every year and watch NBA games. I know I will be done eating and watching House Hunters by the time the Mavs
and Utah
play.
Now, that's disrespectful. Come on. Donovan Mitchell's a lot of fun. Here. You know, Joe Ingles talks a lot of trash. That's a tough watch, you know?
It's late over here.
You ever seen him put up a left-handed hook? It's not pretty.
It's not pretty.
Yeah, you're right, though, Zach. Like, Bucks-Sixers would have been a way better matchup to watch.
You got a little bit more trash talk and stuff. Although Tatum is very good and very fun, and maybe he'll be more of a household name.
At least Giannis is getting a prime spot now instead of the early game, right?
Early game. You know, now we're just sticking Trae Young in that spot.
Everyone's opening gifts
with Trae Young to start it out and Luka to end it, and the rest of you guys in the between. Good, you know, congratulations on your success and continued success to you. Speaking of success, it's time for another ad break.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training, just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
All right, let's finish this off with Take 5, Pascal Siakam stain. On Monday, our own Sam Amick released some notes and observations from Las Vegas. And here's an interesting note on Pascal Siakam and the Raptors. Quote, do the Raptors actually want to move Siakam? Based on conversations with several people close to the situation in Vegas, I'd venture to say no, at least for now. They will continue to listen to the calls that come their way, which is no different from what the recently re-signed Masai Ujiri, now president and vice chairman, and general manager Bobby Webster have always done. Marcus, is Pascal going to be a Raptor long term, or are we just posturing after a down year for Siakam, and maybe, just maybe, he gets the DeRozan treatment of course we're not going to trade you. By the way, you've been traded.
Not only that, he might get traded to play with DeRozan in Chicago, who's acquiring all of the talents. I don't think he's long for them. I think the draft pick, drafting Scottie Barnes and, you know, jumping, right? We might look at this and say, how do you not take Jalen Suggs? He's right there, right? The writing's on the wall. And
what we're not going to do is disrespect San Diego State legend Malachi.
That's Clinton, what we're not going to do.
Well, he was falling. We didn't mention him.
No, he was playing summer league. Like, why are you in summer league, man? Like,
that's Aztec basketball, doing? Baby.
I don't think he's long for the Raptors. Here's the problem. How's the situation going to be different? He's still going to think, yo, give me the ball on the wing. Let me cook. He's still going to think, I got the shot. And that's not when he was great. He was great when it was Kyle Lowry, when it was Kawhi Leonard, and he was like this third weapon, like facing one-on-one defense, doing like James said, getting downhill, finishing that. Like, he won't have that setup again. He needs to be in a...
Like no other point guard can do.
No other point guard. So
other than 2-5.
I just don't see that lasting. If Scottie Barnes is any good, it definitely won't last. And at some point, the way the Bulls are coming, the Raptors might as well start over because the Bulls are coming,
Scottie
baby.
Scottie Barnes is
nice.
He's good. He can hoop.
My thing is, I don't – what's the plan? So you signed Van Vliet to a deal that signaled that you're still trying to be competitive and be good. Siakam signed what? Was it a year ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago maybe.
2 years ago? Yeah. So I look at Toronto, and, like, obviously they went through some stuff last year, and I think a lot of that was – I mean, yeah, they – played every single game, all 72 on the road.
You got to live in Tampa. That's not like that's
untenable. And it's Tampa. Yeah. Like, it's just the factors at B. Like, that was uncomfortable for everybody. And I look at their roster, I'm like, that's a good team. And I don't, yes, you can rebuild and try to slow play it and try to get back to the mountaintop. But I think the Raptors are one of those organizations where I think the fans would be, they got their title. I think the fans would be happy with just a consistent playoff team. And I look at that team and I think, can I for sure name 5-6 teams better than them? No, I can't. Like, I would keep Pascal unless you get a godfather offer, but I don't think a godfather offer is coming for Pascal. I think they can be, as is, a consistent mainstay playoff team, and I think for Toronto, those fans work. That works for those fans. Similar to Portland.
The problem is they have a top 10 payroll. Like, your top 10 payroll, you ain't doing that to make the playoffs, right? Like, you doing that to try to win a title. Pascal's making $33 million. Like, you're not paying people that to be like, okay, get us to a 6 seed. Like,
hey, man, you should have sent his ass to Golden State for some of those picks.
Should have pulled the trigger.
Ooh, is it too late?
Come on, they got Jonathan Kuminga. What?
Yeah.
They got a dude who is a bucket.
All right. I think with that,
Zach always fills me.
I think with that.
Oh, I didn't even get it.
My curiosity comes with Masai Ujiri was going to like do a full teardown, right? Back when he traded Rudy Gay years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And then they were just good, right? And so it wasn't – all of a sudden you weren't trading Kyle Lowry to the Knicks. You weren't doing all this stuff. And he was just like, all right, we'll roll with this. And they were able to, you know, kind of maintain and build. They swing for the fences with Kawhi. They win the championship. This may be the first chance, James, where where you actually get a chance for Masai to, like, not a full teardown rebuild, right? Because you have OG, you have Boucher, you have Scotty Barnes, like
Gary
you
Trent.
Have Flynn. Yeah, you have Gary Trent Jr. Like, you have some guys, but maybe you can reset a little bit. Maybe you move a Fred VanVleet and a Pascal Siakam in multiple trades, and you can kind of like do that fast retooling on the fly and really end up with a nice, nice future.
If you're trying to go that route, I agree, you do both. Like, yeah. If you're going to just trade Pascal and keep Fred, I don't get that. If you're really trying to do it, because like you said, they got some interesting young players, and Fred and Pascal together will get you something nice. And so I wouldn't be mad at that. I just think that I like the team. Like, I kind of like think they could be like a sneaky, like, they don't have Trae Young, but would you be surprised if they made an Atlanta run just like randomly in the next 4 years? I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up in the top six in the East this year.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
There's a lot of talent there. It's just going to be about, like, can they come home?
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Fair. I don't know if that's the case. And really, Marcus, you're just going to say he's a bucket.
Let's stop acting like, I mean, Fred's making $19 million, man. It ain't $33 million's a lot of money, yo. Like, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot, yeah.
It's a lot.
But I just mean the presence of a guy like Fred's not trying to, I would imagine, not trying to be there for.
I mean, he's got a mentor, Malachi. That. You know what I'm saying? He's got to
come take this job.
Mentor,
fella.
Malachi. I think Malachi is mentoring him.
He's the OG.
You know? That's OG. A San Diego State legend right there, okay? All they do is a basketball factory.
Just and don't forget about Stanley Johnson, who is on the made up, what is the list you just made up for Kuminga? The Hall of Fame.
Body of Ready.
Yeah, Stanley's on that list.
Unfortunately, the skill didn't come with it for most of yeah. that. So yeah, he was
Stanley
still very
shoots
good defender,
like
though.
0.2% from three or something crazy. Yeah.
And
it's bad. But the body.
Let's not forget a man that is bringing Heat culture above the border, Precious Achiuwa. What a great pickup! And you can move Goran Dragic. Like, they actually got a lot of pieces. If they can compete for avoiding the play-in tournament in a good way, or they could move a lot of guys, still keep a young core, and be a competitive team. Like, Masai's
got a
great
bunch
of options
to go either way. Yeah,
absolutely. And they signed Sam Dekker.
Oh, that's it. That seals it.
Did they?
Yeah, man. They that did. It, he shot like 8% from three in Turkey. And they were like, let's see what.
I missed
what's
that.
Doing here.
Wisconsin great.
Must be a three-pointer from Sam Dekker. Everything missed. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. He's no bucket. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus, Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, and many more. For James Edwards III, for Marcus Thompson, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. Subscribe to The Athletic and keep it locked in on The Athletic Podcast Network.